Hello, and welcome to the Business of Podcasting. I'm your host, Craig Hewitt from Podcast Motor. Here, each week, I'll sit down with one of the leaders in podcasting to find out how they're using this fantastic form of content marketing to connect with their audience, grow their brand, and ultimately build their business. If you're not already podcasting, then today is the day to start, and here we'll show you how. Okay, let's get on with the show. All right, on the show this week, we have Dave Nivote from Hubstaff. Dave, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, Craig.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, I've been kind of running in the same circles with Dave for a while and know of Hubstaff. And I guess for the folks out there who might not know who you are or what you guys do, you want to give a little background on what Hubstaff is?
Yeah, sure. So, it's time tracking software for the most part. We have some proof of work variable aspects to it. We also integrate with a lot of the PM systems, that kind of thing. But for the most part, it's basically for people that have distributed remote teams that help them understand and manage time zones and understand what everyone's doing and set priorities, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. And how long have you guys been around?
So this is probably our fourth year. So we launched, we started building like late 2012, launched like summer 2013.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And you guys are part of the sort of open and transparent business, small business movement. So I guess, do you mind sharing a little bit about kind of the size of the organization at this point?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, we all of our numbers are public. You know, we make all of the revenue and churn and all the detailed metrics public through Bear Metrics. And like right now, I think we're at 100 and like around 130,000 monthly recurring. And then, like we have around 25 employees, you know, we're still pretty much kind of putting everything back into the company that we make, profitable though, you know, so things are going well. We're growing, you know, at roughly around 7,000 net per month. This month is down a little bit.
Yeah, so that's, you know, and so you guys are bootstrapped and haven't received funding. So in right. 4 years, that's a real kind of, I don't know, it's not a Cinderella story, but I mean, I know you guys have had kind of smart and consistent growth over the last few years. But I think overall, that's a really great place to be in 4 years.
Yeah,
a lot of people would be envious.
Yeah, it's hard to say, you know what I'm saying? It still feels really slow. We put a lot of effort and time and money into it. So it's kind of like, you know, what can we do to ramp it up a little bit? But yeah, we're happy and thankful.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And so I know content marketing has been a big part of your growth. And just from you and I talking kind of offline previously, that you guys had gotten into content marketing pretty heavy a year or so ago, doubled down on it since then, and then added to podcasting recently. Can you kind of share, I guess, going back a bit to when you decided content marketing was really working for you guys and how you decided to double down on it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to find our clients, online. It's been a hard battle to find our clients online. Most of our stuff comes from inbound marketing, whether through the blog or just search, you know, on Google, that kind of thing, or, you know, finding us through some directory online like GetApp or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So they find us through their own means. It's advertising has not worked for us. You know, sales has not worked for us. So that, you know, those kind of channels where you have direct numbers, just haven't panned out. And so really the decision to double down on content marketing came from just the fact that that's what was working for us the best. And it was the most scalable. It was the most controllable. And it was having an impact, you know, so kind of felt at the same time like that was kind of the future of things, like the future of marketing in terms of just doing the right thing and helping people out, you know, and it kind of blends well with what, you know, we're doing with the transparent stuff and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, just it felt right. And so we just decided to, yeah, put more time and money into the content marketing, and included with that was, you know, the podcast.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so, at this point, you guys are a handful of months into the podcast. I know you're a big data-driven marketing group. Do you have anything that you can share about what you've seen from the results of the podcast in terms of sort of inbound marketing and the effect on trials and conversions and stuff?
You know, it's hard to tell exactly. Yet we do have data behind it. We've got a really good analytics system set up so we can, you know, see the effect of many different things. What's very hard to measure is when somebody finds you, for instance, on the App Store or iTunes, you know, and basically, you know, comes to you, listens to you on their handheld device, and then types in Google, you know, the name of your company and, right, and starts a trial. That's like so hard to measure. What we can measure, though, what we measure is, you know, we drive people to our blog. We make the podcast so that you can listen to it on our blog. And we send people from our newsletter to that. And we basically also, you know, we get search traffic to those pages. And, you know, from that, we can measure because we have our blog set up in our analytics warehouse. So basically, we can measure how many people go to those pages and then basically the conversion rate into, you know, paid trials or, you know, free trials and then paid accounts. So, I mean, for the most part, what I've seen is that, you know, we've driven about 100, you know, free trials from the blog itself to start an organization. And then basically from there, you know, I don't know, 70 or so, you know, accounts. That's only from the blog, though. Like I said, it does not include all the extracurricular stuff that you can't measure.
Right, right. Yeah, it's tough with the different channels. Yeah.
Right. So I would say double that, you know, probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe more than double it. Because it's hard to say that somebody is going to, the blog isn't the best place to listen. It's a good place to initially introduce somebody, I guess, but it's not good for, you know,
Yeah, that's a tough thing. I mean, we talk a lot with our customers and we're getting started when they're starting a new show about, you know, what is the sort of purpose of your show? And for a lot of our customers, that's, you know, it would be like someone like you guys where you want to increase your reach with content marketing, create another channel, reach the same audience in a different way, maybe. But ultimately, the goal is to drive them back to your site. And like you said, most people are listening to the show while they're walking the dog or taking a run or whatever. And the real kind of secret sauce, I think, is how do you get the people from their iPhone back to their laptop or their iPad to go to your site?
Yeah, and I think that is true, but I also think that for us, even if we don't have that aspect, which we kind of can measure that as well, we just started to do like an ad in the podcast, so we can kind of measure the effect of that. Mm-hmm. Even if that proves out to be not providing direct customers per se, I think this is something we'd continue doing just because there's no doubt that it helps us reach like our number one growth method is word of mouth.
Yeah.
And so it's like the impact of I feel like it's a good way to reach influencers, you know, not necessarily the influencers that have these big blogs and have huge audiences, not that type of, but more so the type of influencer that is an entrepreneur that may be in a mastermind with 8 other entrepreneurs. That's a story that I get all the time that says, you know, hey man, I shared this with everybody that in our group and half of them now are using it and love it. Mm-hmm. So that kind of person is the person that we're trying to reach on the podcast. And like I said, even if the data comes back that, hey, you're not getting any direct paid conversions from this, which isn't the case because we see that we are. But even if it was the case, I think that it would still be, you could still make an argument. Well, it's not that expensive. It's not that hard to do. You know, it's scalable. And it's a form of content that you can then replicate into other forms of content. You get SEO traffic from it. It's stuff that you can include in the newsletter. I think there's a lot of positives that come from it, as well as the different channel that just isn't available in other ways. It's pretty rare to have, you know, that channel available, you know, that that iTunes is doing all the marketing for you, or a lot of it at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for all of the bad stuff you give up with transparency and metrics with iTunes, it's a giant search engine with a ton of people going through it.
Yeah. And so, you know, and you reach people that just are searching for that form of content that you don't have the ability to reach you know, elsewhere.
So, okay. So one thing I think is interesting is reaching out to influencers in sort of tangential spaces to yours. And that's something you've mentioned, whether it's like a big scale or a small scale kind of guy. How intentional are you being about who you have on the show with respect to kind of influencer outreach and networking?
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's a good thing that, you know, what I found, you know, on a high level is that, like, very rarely do people say no. So you get a really high response rate. If you have a you know, quality, you know, show that we have 40 plus episodes now, so it's not like it's episode one or two, you know, it's a very focused podcast. So it's all the other guests are going to be remotely similar to what they are. And you know, we've had a really good response rate in terms of the people saying yes that come on the show. We are being deliberate about who we get on, but you know, that's not the most important thing to us. We don't get a lot of benefit, I don't think, from the retweets of your of the people that you have on the show, of your guests, like, you know, sharing out on social. Mm-hmm. You would think that would be a big thing, but a lot of it, we don't really, maybe we need to do a better job of getting them to do that, I guess, maybe. That could be something we look at, but in general, the biggest thing for us is like sharing. I think there's two sides of it. You know, the one side is basically acquisition of new people. The other thing is showing your current people that you care and trying to help them. That second aspect is what we were actually focused on more than the acquisition of new clients.
Yeah, yeah. I think that one thing we've seen is building your Rolodex, if you will. That's a terrible old term, but the people you have on the show, it's a really unique opportunity to have a 30-minute, hour-long conversation with someone who you might not normally connect with, in a really genuine, sort of applicable way, to where your audience then sees that, you know, hey, you know, Craig is talking to Dave and the conversation is going well, that, you know, they must kind of, you know, run the same kind of way. And I think it increases everyone's credibility a little bit. But also then if down the road, if you have like, hey, I have a question about this. Oh yeah, he was on the show a while back. Let me go, you know, sort of connect with him back. And you have that rapport from being on the show that I think it's, you know, say it doesn't scale because like you have 40 episodes, you have 40 people that you could connect with, but they're really high quality connections.
Right.
That for me, I wouldn't have otherwise probably.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And I agree with that 100%. For us, they are our potential customers, but I think it's you know, like, or they would definitely do us some benefit, but it's more along the lines of like getting their information and giving it to your current listeners for us. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, but yeah, that does make sense.
So you guys have a very active blog, it's run for probably all 4 years. You've been in business now. How does the podcast in terms of the type of content kind of fit with the rest of the content that you're creating?
So our main target client is like an agency, like any kind of agency, you know, any kind of services business. Typically, those are the people with labor as their core, like, I don't know how to say it, but as the core piece of their business is people. You know what I'm saying? It's not like software. It's not whatever. It's people. They're selling websites or copywriting or, you know, digital marketing services or whatever, you know. So that's our core customer. And basically what I've kind of found is those people are busy, and for us to write, they're not really searching on content. So like they're not like, oh, how to run your agency better or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They're not doing a search like that as much. So the podcast has given us a way to basically reach those people and provide content without like boring them to death, because it would be pretty boring to have a blog post on that topic.
You know?
But the podcast I don't think is boring at all, because you've got the interview factor, and you've got our podcast as an interview podcast. So you've got the best of the best agencies out there, all with a unique twist on how they're growing their agency that other agencies can take that information, other of our core customers can take that information and apply it to their business. So that's our whole thing. But it's like, to put that in a blog post would just, I don't think it would hit.
So I'll sort of interpret that my own way, because your blog is one of the handful of blogs that I read all the time, and I'll sort of translate that to say that I think that the podcast for you guys is a little more sort of entertainment for your customers, or the same sort of topic but in a entertainment form, whereas yeah. your blog is very nuts and bolts, a lot of data, a lot of examples and case studies and things like that, which is great, right. And I think the written medium is much better for that kind of thing. It would be very tough to have a case study podcast for yeah. design agencies or something. So
right, that makes sense. Right.
Yeah, that's yeah. cool. So I think it's interesting how people meld different forms of content together. We have some customers that have like YouTube channels, and I think it's sometimes tough to figure how you're going to add a podcast to the mix. But it sounds like you guys have done it really well.
Yeah, I think the core thing is like thinking about, for anybody that was going to sit back and try to make the decision, should I do this or should I not? I think the core thing is like figure out who you're going to, who do you want to listen? You know, who do you want to listen? And what we've done is tried to create something that's very specific to that audience. And basically we did it in an interview format. And like I said, just take the best of the best that hopefully they can listen and learn something new every week and apply it to their business. And we get repeat listeners because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So 40 episodes in or so right now, what are some things that have surprised you about the podcast or that you learned and didn't expect 6 months ago?
You know, I think that we didn't expect, one of our contractors, one of our marketing people run the whole thing. So he's in charge of the whole thing. So I don't even have to get that involved with it, but it doesn't take, I just think it's worth it. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. If you use a service or if you have somebody else, so the way we run it is that my marketing director, I mean, he does the interviews. He has to find the people to interview and that kind of thing. But then, we have somebody else do all the work behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
that, needs to be done. So if all you're doing as the business owner, it's basically, getting the interviews and doing the interview itself, then you pass everything else along, the creation, the WordPress page, the, the transcription. Mm-hmm. All of that, like your company does, then it becomes kind of a no-brainer because it's just content that is, like I said in the beginning, scalable, and you get their relationship. There's a lot of benefits to it. So I think, to answer your question along the long way, I think that I went into it thinking, well, man, this is going to be a pain. I don't know if it's going to work or not. But now I've had the attitude that's like, why would I not do this kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. It definitely has a much higher barrier to entry than, say, blogging.
Yeah.
And I would put it probably right up against like a YouTube channel or something where it's very daunting to think about the equipment and the editing software right. and where do I host it and da-da-da-da-da-da. And how do you submit it to iTunes and all this kind of stuff that – for us is really simple, but we have the yeah. conversation every day with people. So, at this point we have kind of our secret sauce of how we think it should be done. So I think when it does come down to it, if you can filter out all the BS out there that people are putting out about how to start a podcast and find one way that works, it does get pretty simple. Even if yeah. you're doing it all yourself and you don't hire somebody like Podcast Motor and you say, okay, I can, it'll take me 2 or 3 extra hours to edit it. It's not that hard. It does take a fair mm-hmm. amount of time. And so I think the question then is, what is your time worth?
Yeah, exactly. And just for us, it's like a matter of like, okay, I don't want to have to manage the process of doing all that stuff. I mean, I don't want to have, it's just another thing on my checklist to manage versus just not even thinking about it, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the main aspect for me, yeah.
So so in another year, what do you see your podcast looking like? Just kind of more of the same and continuing to grow your body of work? Or do you guys have any special plans for the show?
No, I think more of the same. I mean, our thing is like, I think what people want, and I could be wrong, but I have thought about this a little bit. And I think that what people want, and I think what people, when they're listening to a podcast, if I think about the person that's listening to my podcast, you know, an agency owner, like I said, you know, there's many different ways to grow their business and find new clients and scalable marketing methods and whatever else that they can either implement in their own business or implement in their techniques to their clients. I mean, that's it. So I think that there is something to be said for repeatable and not changing and just like hitting this topic over the head with as many different, I mean, like all the podcasts I listen to, that's what they do. The same thing from different people that different takes on ways to do X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And I think that that consistency keeps people interested day in, day out, same thing, but just a different way of doing that same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, this show is the exact same way. I very much don't have the same seven questions that I ask everybody, but the conversation is the same. You know,
right.
Why did you start podcasting? What does it mean to your business? How does it fit into the rest of your business? And then ultimately, kind of what does it mean to the bottom line? Because yeah. In the end, it is a marketing channel. And if you're not seeing the ROI from it, you're not going to keep doing it. And you guys, by sort of process of elimination, but have found that content is the best way to do it. And so it makes total sense for you guys to be doubling down on content and getting into podcasting.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So we ask for like a beginner tip kind of as the last question, but you have a little bit different scenario here because you are not sort of actively participating in the podcast. So for business owners out there who are looking to get into podcasting but don't want to do it themselves necessarily and want to have a director of marketing or something like that doing it like you guys do, what advice do you have for somebody who's maybe just looking at or just getting started from a business owner and a founder perspective?
Yeah. I mean, what we did is, you know, we just said, hey, you know, this is something we'd like to test, at least test, you know, let's give it a few episodes. I guess the advice would be just jump into it and what I did is I just said, hey, just, I assigned it to somebody else and said, you run with it. You figure it out. You work on it. You come up with the concepts. You find the guests. You do every, you know what I'm saying? You work mm-hmm. with the technology. You find the companies that can help us to get all the work behind the scenes done. You figure out how to submit. I just gave all that. And I didn't worry about like each individual step that needed to be done as the business owner and founder. I just said, hey, man, you go figure it out. You know what I'm saying? It sounds kind of... It sounds kind of funny, I guess, but that's just what I did.
And no, I think it's great.
It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, you have the people around you that you can trust with that kind of decision to go and implement it, and that's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that many small businesses have that same person. Now, I think the other thing is that I think there's plenty of services like what you have that can help out to do this. And there's also plenty of people that are, you need somebody, I guess, more technically minded to do it, you know? So, I mean, I think that just getting somebody, you know, going to whoever is your tech person or whoever is technically savvy in your company and having them do, it could be something that's very fun for them and a little bit different challenge outside of the norm, you know, of their daily responsibility. Kind of hits on tech and marketing at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, and you never know what's going to happen. It could be something that could really fly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I love that perspective on it. We have a lot of people who are in the weeds, if you will, with their shows and like being directly involved in it. So it's really refreshing to get a little bit different perspective from kind of a more higher level business owner. So no, I totally appreciate it.
Yeah.
Cool. Dave, anything else you want to share with the folks who are listening about Hubstaff or your podcast or anything? Tell them where they can kind of find out more.
Yeah, I mean, so I write a lot of articles like this, a lot of posts, you know, like we've been talking about. You know, I write a growth section on my blog, just blog.hubstaff.com/grow. And that'll be like the story of Hubstaff from zero up to where we are right now in revenue. over the past few years. And I would say that podcasting is, like I said, a big part of our content strategy. And I think it's one that we'll continue doing for a long time to come. And like I said, you know, in the beginning, I think it just makes sense to jump into it and basically try to outsource as much as possible, but, you know, have some visionary control over, of, you know, who your customers are, what the first few guests are going to be, that kind of thing. And to be involved in the beginning stages, but then let, you know, let somebody else take control of it. That would be my best advice.
Awesome. Awesome. Dave Nevote, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. To find out more and check out all of the previous episodes, head on over to podcastmotor.com/show. I'd love to hear from you. If you can leave a rating and review in iTunes, please let me know what you think of the show. The ratings and reviews help us get more exposure to the show and bring on more awesome guests. All right, we'll see you next time.